Iran is accused of trying to intimidate American voters. We'll explain the latest twist in election interference. Plus, we know airlines are having a tough time during the pandemic. Soon, we'll see how some of the biggest carriers are weathering the turbulence as more earnings are out today.
All the airlines are kind of trying different things and trying to capture whatever demand there is and, you know, trying to adjust their networks.
And we'll tell you about Chinese tourists flocking to Wuhan, the city where the pandemic first emerged. It's Thursday, October 22nd. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. U.S. officials say Iran is responsible for emails to Democratic voters in battleground states with the intent to intimidate voters and incite social unrest. We're reporting that the messages were intended to appear as though they were from the far-right group, the Proud Boys. Here's Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe.
These actions are desperate attempts by desperate adversaries. Even if the adversaries pursue further attempts to intimidate or attempt to undermine voter confidence, know that our election systems are resilient, and you can be confident your votes are secure.
A spokesman for Iran's mission to the UN denied the allegation, saying Iran doesn't interfere in foreign elections. President Trump and Joe Biden will participate in their final debate in Nashville, which we'll stream live on WSJ.com at 9 p.m. Eastern. And Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee plan to boycott today's vote on Judge Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination. A final confirmation vote by the full Senate could happen next week. A vote on another coronavirus relief package may have to wait until after the election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin did report progress, but they alone can't make it happen. Opposition in the GOP-controlled Senate and the ticking of the clock make it less and less likely that a bill could become law before Election Day. Pope Francis has endorsed civil unions for same-sex couples. Although his remarks in a documentary film aren't part of his official teachings, they could influence bishops to take a softer approach on the issue. Our Vatican correspondent Francis X. Rocca explains how these new comments could play out going forward.
The Pope has been very clear that marriage is something that the church teaches is between a man and a woman, and he said that and he's written that. So I don't think there's any prospect of the Catholic Church recognizing same-sex marriages. This does perhaps give encouragement to those bishops and Catholics who want to start blessing same-sex unions. Not holding marriage ceremonies, but having blessings, sometimes in church. This goes on already in Germany and certain and some other Northern European countries. And people who are for that will certainly take encouragement from this, because it obviously takes seriously same-sex couples.
We've talked a lot about plans to turn Chinese-owned TikTok into an American company. But now things appear to be slowing down. The Journal's Kate Davidson explains why.
Practically speaking, you know, on the legal and sort of technical front, it seems like things are really in a holding pattern. You know, TikTok is challenging in court the government's effort to essentially shut them down, to ban the app unless they sell themselves to a U.S. company. So that is happening. There are going to be arguments in that case on November 4th. And basically, TikTok and the government are both waiting to see how that pans out, because, you know, whoever prevails in that case could have more leverage in sort of how a final deal looks like. If TikTok prevails in the case, they might not have to sell to an American company, which is what the administration really wants.
You can read more of Kate's reporting on WSJ.com. We could get a better idea as to where the economy stands when existing home sales data is released today. We'll also get a look at the latest weekly jobless claims. Here's the Journal's labor economics reporter, Eric Morath, on what to look for.
So the expectation for Thursday's report is that claims stay in what's becoming an increasingly familiar place, between 800 and 900,000. They've basically been stuck at that level since the end of August. And what that means is that the labor market's really no longer rapidly improving. So, of course, we saw the deep, deep dive in spring, but we saw a pretty strong rebound throughout the summer. That rebound started to slow in August, kind of flattened in September, and we're not really seeing any signs yet in October that we're getting back to it. So the thing to watch for is, are we seeing signs that the labor market is sort of stalling out and that we might be kind of sticking near where we are in terms of level of claims, in terms of the unemployment rate being about 8%, in terms of a lot of people still searching for jobs.
A full plate on today's earnings calendar with Coca-Cola, Intel, and paper product giant Kimberly-Clark releasing results. Southwest and American also report earnings. We'll take a look at the latest developments in the pandemic challenges facing the airline industry after a quick break. We're reporting that Boeing is gauging interest in a new jet in early-stage conversations with possible buyers. The potential new design would carry between 200-250 people, somewhere between the troubled 737 MAX and the 787 Dreamliner. These are tough times for both companies that make the planes and those that fly them. We'll get a better understanding as to the challenges airlines face and what you as a passenger can expect as more big U.S. carriers release earnings today. Let's bring in Allison Sider. She covers airlines for the Wall Street Journal. Hi there, Allison.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Allison. Here's my question for you. When we hear the earnings calls today, correct me if I'm wrong, losses are inevitable and airlines are really worried about cash.
We're going to hear from Southwest Airlines and American Airlines, and you know, really nobody is expecting anything positive. You know, Delta and United reported last week, and both reported huge losses, which really comes as no surprise, just given how much demand has been decimated by the pandemic. And the biggest focus for airlines right now is just getting as much cash as possible and holding on to it. So the numbers that investors have been looking at are, you know, daily cash burn, and trying to figure out when that cash burn number is going to be zero. And it seems like that won't be for a little while.
So Allison, airlines now have this task, if you will, of trying to rewrite their next chapter under very challenging times. We just saw Southwest announce it's going to operate out of Chicago O'Hare and Bush Intercontinental out of Houston. In the past, that would not have even been in the realm of discussion.
Yeah, so we're seeing Southwest doing some really interesting things. It is in some ways sort of in better shape than some of its competitors and is taking advantage of, you know, airports that were once sort of congested and hard to get into, now being easier to get into. And, you know, Southwest has the capacity and they're making an opportunistic move. And I think we're seeing, you know, a lot of airlines get creative with their routes. You know, there isn't a lot of business travel right now, so they're all focused a lot on sort of people who are still flying. Where do they want to go? So that's the beach. It's national parks, kind of anywhere you can be outside, leisure destinations. So they're all kind of remaking their routes to accommodate that kind of demand. So, you know, all the airlines are kind of trying different things and trying to capture whatever demand there is and, you know, trying to adjust their networks.
What about the uncertainty about additional stimulus aid? How does this fit into the tough times the airlines are already facing?
United and American in particular had to go ahead and just let go of the thousands of workers because the new stimulus hadn't been decided and there was really no certainty about whether it will be and when. So, you know, the people most impacted by this are the employees. Thousands of them are on furlough. It's not clear if and when they'll be called back. You know, it could be in a couple months. It could be, if there's no stimulus, a couple years. So, you know, that's really who's feeling this the most. Airlines have said this next round of stimulus isn't really a matter of survival for them, but they want to have all their employees on so that they can be ready when there's a recovery. You know, it can take a couple of months to get pilots, especially pilots, trained, you know, bring people back, get them to go through training, sit in simulators. And I think what they want is, you know, when they see signs that demand is starting to come back, they want to be able to ramp up right away. You know, so they think another round of stimulus will sort of help them be healthier and more prepared when a recovery comes.
Allison, we are seeing a bit of a rebound in passenger numbers. Still, airlines face a tremendous amount of uncertainty. What does this mean for someone who wants to fly in the future?
Yeah, the passenger numbers that we've seen in the last couple of weeks, you're definitely seeing a slight but real upward trend. You know, on Sunday, over a million people went through U.S. airport security screening checkpoints, which is the highest since mid-March. So, you know, even more than in the summer, which is sort of the typical travel season. But there's really no sense of, you know, whether it can really go up much more from here without a lot of business travel and without international borders being open in a real way again. And it's also very unclear what, you know, another wave of infections would do to those numbers. You know, if something like that will trigger more restrictions on travel, you know, that will sort of discourage people from flying again. So, you know, whether the numbers keep rising from here is a real unknown for airlines. For passengers, I think people flying right now, you know, depending on where you're flying and when you're booking, there are a lot of deals out there. And I think, you know, most experts, including most airline executives, expect competition to be pretty fierce going forward, just with a smaller number of travelers. You know, I think you can expect a lot of deals on fares and a lot of sales, and we're already seeing a lot of promotions right now. So, you know, I think the expectation is this will be a pretty low fare recovery for people who are wanting to travel now.
Allison Sider covers airlines for the Wall Street Journal. Allison, thanks very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, when travel picks up once again, one day you may want to head across the Pacific to China. The sounds of tourists can now be heard on the streets of Wuhan. That's right, the city where the pandemic first emerged earlier this year is now a tourist hotspot. Our WSJ video team recently traveled there and saw people snapping pictures of a 1,000-year-old tower. We saw dancers and people walking along China's longest river. As many international locations are off the table for would-be travelers, ground zero of the pandemic has become a top destination for Chinese tourists. Wuhan hasn't reported any locally transmitted cases since authorities rolled out a mass testing plan for the city's 11 million people earlier this year. You can watch our video from Wuhan right now on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Thursday. We're back tonight with a new show, including a preview of tonight's debate. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.